Amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum everyone and welcome to our weekly session on Imam Ash-Shurunbulaliyyu rahimahullah. His text, Maraqiyu Sa'adat. We are picking up from last session, which looked at the adab of the wudu, and we then stopped at the makruhat of wudu, and this is what we are going to resume. We are going to resume from this section again, as we always do. We will read it, the relevant section for today, and then bi'idhnillahi ta'ala go through the rough translation and some basic points about the matan. The Sheikh rahimahullah wa nafa'ana Allahu bih, he says in his book on the section on Kitab al-Tahara, on the book of Kitab al-Tahara, in the section on the disliked aspects of the wudu, he says, wa min makruhatihi al-israf wa taqtiru fihi wa dharbu al-wajh bihi وتكلم بغير دعاء والاستعانة بغير عذر والسبب الوضوء إرادة ما لا يحل إلا به كالصلاة ومس المصحف أو توجه الخطاب بضيق وقت الصلاة عنها وشروط التكليف به الإسلام والعقل والبلوغ وانقطاع الحيض والنفاس والحدث والقدرة على الماء الطهور الكافي والقدرة على أداء الصلاة وتوجه الخطاب بضيق وقتها وشروط صحة الوضوء عموم البشرة بالماء الطهور وزوال ما يمنع وصوله إلى جسده كالشمع وانقطاع ما ينافيه حالة الغسل كالطهور رشح برأس السبيل وحكمه حل ما كان ممتنعا قبل الصلاة ومس المصحف وركنه فرضه وأقسامه الوضوء الثلاثة فرض وواجب ونفل الأول للصلاة مطلقا مع الحدث ولسجدة التلاوة ومس الآية والثاني للطواف بالكعبة ومس التفسير ومس التفسير وثالث لمس نحو كتب الفقه وتجديده للصلاة الأخرى ولخروج من خلاف العلماء كمس الإمرأة والنوم والاستيقاظ منه وبعد كل خطيئة وقهقهة خارج الصلاة وينقض الوضوء كل شيء خرج من السبيلين ونجاسة سائلة من غيرهما كدم وقيء يملأ الفم ونوم غير متمكن بنحو الاضطجاع وتورك وإغماء وجنون وسكر وقهقهة مصل بالغ ومس فرج بذكر منتصب. So we will look at the makruhat. We'll focus on the makruhat and we'll look at some of the conditions in today's session بإذن الله تعالى. So he says, ومن مكروهاته, and from of the disliked elements in wudu, and the makruhat could be for the Hanafis a makruh that is of the level of a prohibition, so makruh tahriman, and then you've got the makruh on the level of a slight dislike. It doesn't reach to the level of prohibition, and this is known as makruh tanzihan. So the makruh tahriman is something which, if a person does it, then you know they will incur a sin for doing it. So we must abstain from doing anything that is makruh tahriman. So if we do it without an excuse, it becomes sinful, an act that is sinful, and makruh tanzihan, or the mildly disliked, is an act which, if one does it, then there is no blame or punishment attached to it. There's no sin incurred for doing it, even without an excuse. Even without an excuse. And here we are. The dislike matters are al-israf, or wasting. Wasting water when doing wudu. So we shouldn't use more water than what is deemed necessary to wash the parts of our limbs that we need to wash. So, for example, washing your limbs more than three times. This is israf. This is excess. The other disliked aspect here is the using too little water, not enough water. So one dislike element, one dislike aspect is using excessive water. Another dislike aspect is not using enough water. Are you less than enough that's required from the sunnah to wash the limb appropriately? Because you can't, for example, pat your limbs when you're doing wudu. You can't pat it with water. The limbs must be completely washed three times, which is the sunnah. And so we must do the act of washing the limb three times. So there has to be clear droplets of water falling from the area that needs to be washed. وضرب الوجه به, the slapping the face with water when washing one's face. And this is not considered to be makruh tahriman. This is considered to be makruh tanzihan. And one shouldn't slap one's face because one should not, the face, there's an etiquette with regards to the face, with regards to self-respect. Slapping water on one's face is kind of an unbecoming behavior. So slapping water on one's face is not a proper thing to do, so one should avoid it. وَتَكَلَّمْ بِغَيْرِ دُعَاءٍ, speaking during one's ablution, performing wudu, this is dislike. Unless it's a dua, unless it's a supplication being made when washing the limb. Then it says, وَالْإِسْتِعَانَةُ بِغَيْرِ عُذْرٍ. Having someone assist you when one's doing wudu without a valid excuse. So here it means getting someone to wash your limbs for you. Getting someone to wash your limbs for you, like pouring water on the limbs. There's nothing wrong in someone fetching water for you if you don't happen to have taps. Here it's talking about Isti'ana to be really udhrin, and isti'ana in the sense of having a person washing your limbs for you or wiping your limbs for you, with unless there's some valid excuse like illness. Maybe you might have a shoulder injury or a head injury, an injury to the body where you're unable to make certain movements to wash your body, so someone washes it for you. So these are some of the makruhat, the dislike aspects of wudu. Well, sabab al-wudu, what is it that occasions the wudu? What is the cause behind the wudu? Iradatu ma la yahillu illa bihi kas-salah wa mass al-mus'haf aw tawajjuh al-khitab bi dhiq al-waqt as-salah anhu. The legal reason for performing the wudu, the sabab, that which occasions the wudu, is the intention or the desire to do ma la yahillu illa bihi, is to do those acts that would be otherwise not allowed without doing the wudu. So you want to do those acts, otherwise impermissible without the wudu. You need the wudu to do certain acts, and those acts are like, for example, salah, the obligatory prayers, and any prayer actually. When one wants to touch the cover, the mushaf, the sharif of the Quran, or 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 any act where one is required to be in a state of ritual purity, the what occasions the wudu could be when one has the intention to perform these acts that require a ritual purity, or the sabab could be أو توجه الخطاب بضيق الوقت الصلاة عنها, or maybe the legal reason is for the divine command to be positioned towards or directed to someone due to the short time that's left, the near expiration of the salah time. That might be the sabab for performing wudu, that the prayer time is about to expire, it's about to finish, and therefore the time is very short. So the legal reason could be focusing towards a tawajjuh al-khitab yudhiq al-waqt. It could be directed towards a person who's near the timing of the salah to end, and so they perform. So performing wudu now becomes very important to perform that time within it, perform that prayer within its time. So it could be those two reasons for why we pray the salah, but for why we perform wudu. Then he says, rahimahullah, شروط التكليف به والعقل والبلوغ وانقطاع الحيض والنفاس والحدث والقدرة على الماء الطهور الكافي والقدرة على أداء الصلاة وتوجه الخطاب بضيق وقتها. The conditions of taklif, i.e. the conditions that are of being legally responsible to perform the salah. In other words, unless all these conditions are fulfilled, one is not obligated to do the salah. If any one of them is not present, then one does not carry the taklif, the legal burden, or the legal responsibility or the culpability to perform this act. So what are the shurut al taklif? What are the conditions of culpability and legal responsibility before the law in performing wudu? The first thing, one has to be Muslim. Islam has to be a condition. The second is al-aql, one's sanity. One must be in a state of being able to know and comprehend the acts that they're doing. Wal-bulugh, having reached puberty. So those who have not attained purity, then the wudu, performing the wudu is not, you know, it is not, they're not, it's not deemed obligatory on them. Inqita' al-hayd wal-nifas. One must be in a state where there is no menstrual bleeding, nor is there bleeding that comes from the bleeding that remains after giving birth to a child, the post-birth bleeding, the postnatal bleeding, wal hadath, and not being in a state of ritual impurity, which we will come to later. So if someone is in a state of ritual impurity and that ends, then one, you know, then one can do the wudu. The wudu will be obligatory to do as a condition of taklif. Then it says, وَالْقُدْرَةُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ الطُّهُورِ الْكَافِي وَالْقُدْرَةُ عَلَى أَدَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ. So one must have the access and ability to use the sufficient amount of purifying water to do the wudu. then القدرة على أداء الصلاة. One must have the actual ability to execute the salah, to perform it, to execute the act of praying. وتوجه الخطاب بضيق وقتها. The address of the lawgiver, the command to perform wudu being directed to the person due to the near expiration of the prayer time. When the time is really short, then the divine command, applies to the person. The conditions of the validity of wudu. So now, having looked at the conditions of performance in terms of the moral responsibility, that one must be Muslim, have sanity, must be mature, must not be in a state of bodily ritual impurity and things like that. We now go on to the conditions of what makes the wudu valid. Shurut al-siha. Shurut siha al-wudu. What are the conditions that make the performing of the wudu valid? And if they're not valid, then they become invalid, and means that performance of wudu or ablution becomes void. It wasn't considered in the first place. So the first condition of the validity of the wudu is عموم البشرة بالماء الطهور, that the water that one uses to purify oneself, the ماء الطهور. The purifying water that one uses to perform wudu, that reaches the, or completely surrounds the skin or encompasses the skin of those areas that need to be washed, like the face, the hands, the arms, things like that. So the four integrals of the wudu. Yeah. Those areas, the entire skin must be encompassed with water. Water must reach them. There mustn't be a dry area for those limbs. Then it says, وَزَوَالُ مَا يَمْنَعُ الْوُصُولُهُ إِلَى الْجَسَدِ كَالشَّمْعِ. The removal of anything, the زَوَال, the prevention of anything that blocks water from reaching the surface of the skin. So there can't be any solid barrier between one's body, that areas that need to be washed and wiped for the wudu to be valid. There mustn't be any barrier on the limb itself that will prevent wetness of the water from reaching the limb. And these could be things like, I don't know, heavy, thick paint, or whatever other preventative barrier that can be put on the skin. Because if water doesn't reach the limb, then the washing hasn't taken place as per the command of the Quran. So there must be nothing preventing water reaching the parts of the body that needs to be reached. Nothing can block the surface of the skin. There are exceptions to these, of course, but that's the general ruling. Then he says, وَإِنْقِطَاعُ مَا يُنَافِيهِ حَالَةِ الْغَسْلِ. And then he says, anything كَظُهُورْ رَشْحِ بِرَأْسِ السَّبِيلِ. So he says, anything which preventing anything that negates or anything that kind of terminates that any kind of, but the other condition of making wudu valid is to ensure, might be a better way of putting it, inqita' ma yunafi halat al-ghasl, ensuring that whatever sort of opposes wudu while one is washing is whatever prevents wudu from taking place, making sure that is not there. The prevention of whatever halat al-ghasl, whatever prevents you from being able to wash and perform your wudu. So if, for example, you're washing your limbs and you break wind, that prevents you from doing your ghasl, your washing of your limbs. If one comes from the toilet and begins wudu, but then they see that urine drips, they feel urine drips, at the tip of their private part, then that will stop someone from being able to wash their limb. You see, so one then, in order for wudu to be valid, these things must be prevented. So whatever puts you in a state where your wudu is contravened, is opposed, we have to remove that condition. Otherwise, our wudu wouldn't be valid, because this is the shurut al-sihha. So saying that again, maybe I didn't say it clearly. Whatever prevents a person from performing the wudu, i.e., getting whatever prevents a person from being able to wash the limbs, the areas that need to be washed for ghusl, as long as nothing, no condition, a person is not in a condition that prevents that kind of washing from taking place, then then the wudu will be valid. So basically, we no action be done that will prevent the wudu being valid. Not, there shouldn't be any act that breaks the wudu, otherwise that will prevent the wudu from being valid. Then he says, وَحُكْمُهُ حِلُّ مَا كَانَ مُمْتَنِعًا قَبْلَهُ كَالصَّلَاةِ وَمَسِّ الْمُصْحَفِ. The hukum, the legal ruling is of wudu, is that it allows that which was not allowed before. Such as, what does it allow, which wasn't allowed before? Praying. We can't, it's not, it wasn't allowed before wudu was made to pray. Once wudu was done, we can now pray. Before having any state of ritual purity, i.e., before being in a state of wudu, having wudu performed it, we're not allowed to touch the mushaf, the Quran. But having done wudu, we are now able to touch it. So it's allowing what was previously not allowed. The rukun, the pillars of the integrals of the wudu, are the four that are mentioned already, the four fard. وَرُكْنُهُ فَرْضُهُ, washing the hands, the face, wiping the head, sorry, washing the hands up to the, including the elbows, washing the face, wiping the head, and washing the feet up into and including the ankles. So the integrals or rukun are the obligations, the four obligations of the wudu, or the obligatory elements or components, or however one wants to describe it. So generally, so that's the ruling, and the rulings are integrals. Now we're on to the categories. Wa aqsamul wudu'i thalathatun. The types of wudu are three. The wudu that is fard, the wudu that is wajib, then the wudu that is nafil. So the wudu that is obligatory to perform. And what is that? When is that obligatory? When is it wudu obligatory to perform? Al-awwalu lis-salati mutlaqan ma' al-hadath. When a person is in a state of ritual impurity and one intends to then pray, or one intends سجد تلاوة. One intends to make a prostration a prostration of recital. So there are certain verses in the Quran where one has to prostrate. When those verses are read, then one must prostrate, but one cannot prostrate unless one has performed wudu. ومسي آية. Or if one wants to touch a verse of the Quran, then one must have a wudu. The second is للطواف بالكعبة ومس تفسير. The second category is the wajib category, the mandatory category. One must do this if one intends to perform tawaf, or walking around the Kaaba, the circumambulation of the Kaaba, or touching a book of tafsir, although there might be some difference of opinion about that, but the Sheikh rahimahullah, his view is ومس تفسير, to touch the books of Quranic commentary or exegesis tafsir, that requires a mandatory wudu. Wudu can be nafal or mandub or recommended. وثالث لمس نحو كتب الفقه. So when a person is in a state of ritual impurity and he will, you know, it will be recommended for him to perform wudu if he wants to touch the books of jurisprudence. وتجديده لصلاة أخرى. Or if he wanted to renew his wudu for another prayer, I redo the wudu for a new prayer, another prayer, so he had wudu for dhuhr, and then it comes to asr prayer, he renews his wudu for that prayer. It's recommended, it's virtuous to perform wudu للخروج من خلاف العلماء كمس الامرأة. So where there's disagreement amongst the scholars, for example, over touching women, whether that contravenes wudu, whether or not it contravenes wudu, it's recommended. It's recommended to perform the wudu to exit from that disagreement, being conscientious of that disagreement and respectful of that disagreement. Or, you know, touching one's genitalia for the Hanafis, touching one's genitalia doesn't contravene the wudu, but for other jurists in different schools, it does. So out of deference to that different scholarly difference, it's good to perform the wudu. Well, in nawm, when one is, before one sleeps, like based on the hadith, إذا أتيت مضجعك فليتوضا كوضوءك للصلاة كوضوء للصلاة, something like, or كما قال رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. So whoever approaches their resting place, their bed, let them perform the wudu كوضوءك للصلاة, like you perform your wudu for your prayer. Then it says, والاستيقاظ منه, and after waking up from sleep, it's recommended to do wudu when one wakes up from sleep. وبعد كل خطيئة, after committing every sin or mistake, one performs wudu. This is a generally virtuous thing to do. And laughing out loud when not in the prayer, so outside the prayer, قهقه خارج الصلاة. So when one laughs really loud, it is better to perform wudu. And then it says, what are the things that nullify the wudu? What are the things that contravene the wudu? anything that exits from the two openings, ينقض الوضوء كل شيء خرج من سبيلين. Anything that exits exits the two openings, سبيلين, namely the male private part and the female private part. Anything that generally exits that, one's state of ritual purity of having wudu will be contravened, will be cancelled, will be void. Then it says, وَنَجَاسَةٌ سَائِلَةٌ مِنْ غَيْرِهِمَا كَدَمٍ. So if any kind of filth, and we're going to look through, we'll look at what categories are counted as najasa. Any najasa that is sa'ila, that flows from other than the private parts, the male private parts, and the female private part. And flowing here means that something like blood goes onto an area, moves onto an area that requires washing for wudu. If this happens, then one's wudu will be contravened or void. So the blood has to flow out of the point, the exit point. So like a cut where the blood then moves along, let's say the hand or the arm. It's moved along an area that must be washed. It must flow out. So this is najasa sa'ila, like blood. Vomiting a mouthful or more. And the mouthful is the general criteria is that the vomit must be of such volume that the mouth strains to retain that vomit, the volume or contents of that vomit. وَقَيْءٍ يَمْلَأُ الْفَمْ. It completely, you know, overwhelms the mouth and strains it. وَنَوْمُ غَيْرِ مُتَمَكِّنٍ بِنَحْوِ الْإِضْطِجَاعِ وَتَوَرُّ أَوْ إِغْمَاءِ وَجُنُونٍ وَسُكْرٍ وَقَهْقَهَةٍ مُصَلٍّ بَالِغٍ وَمَسُّ فَرَجٍ بِذَكَرٍ مُنْتَصِبٍ. So the first is sleeping in a position such that one's buttocks are not planted on the ground in a firm way. So such that, like, for example, when one sleeps and one leans on something, if one were to take away that object that one's leaning on when they're asleep, they would fall down. That shows that we're not, when we're sleeping, we're not firmly planted on the ground in a way that we won't topple over or fall over. So wudu becomes nullified only when one is sleeping and leaning on something, such that if that object that one was leaning on is removed, one would fall down. But being, you know, really firmly planted on the ground with your buttocks, and that wouldn't nullify wudu, being in that state. So sleeping in a state where one is stable and planted does not nullify the wudu. وَإِغْمَاءٌ, loss of consciousness nullifies one's wudu. Insanity, وجنون, سكر, being in a state of drunkenness, this invalidates wudu. وَقَهْقَهَةُ مُصَلٍّ بَالِغٍ, the one who's reached the state of puberty and is able to pray and is legally responsible to pray, if that person laughs loudly in their prayer, then their wudu is invalidated. وَمَسُّ فَرَجٍ بِذَكَرٍ مُنْتَصِبٍ, when there is a contact between a ذَكَر مُنْتَصِبٍ, an erected male private part comes into contact with a female private part. So if they both directly come into contact without any sort of barrier. So those are the acts that pure that nullify wudu, yanqudh al-wudu. The section of yanqudh al-wudu, the nullification of the wudu. We can, inshallah, what I'll probably do before I start Bab al-Ghusl is I may go over some details next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, on some particulars and rulings regarding wudu, maybe clarify some points if they weren't clarified, particularly on the nawaqidh al-wudu, that things which nullify the wudu, and look at some case. Some sort of contemporary cases. We'll see if we have time next week, inshallah, our next lesson. We can begin the lesson with that and then move on to Bab al-Ghusl. If we don't, we'll just go straight into Ghusl. I'll stop there. If there's any questions, please feel free to ask. Right, I think there are no questions. But inshallah ta'ala, we will see you in our next lesson. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.